For tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Friday evening service of April the 13th, 1990. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Jack Harris is the speaker.
All right, here's our dilemma. We're in this kingdom, the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God is in the kingdom of the world. So we are related to the kingdom of the world, and we have a lot of business in the kingdom of the world, but our citizenship is in the kingdom of God. Now, what we must do in order to come to the elite position that I'm talking about, we must learn, we must find some way to give our 100% allegiance to this kingdom, the kingdom of God. But we've not found that yet. Right now, we are a mixture. And I'm going to tell you what you would like to do when you find yourself in this position. And believe me, you found yourself in this position. Whether you were aware of it, you are aware of it now, that you belong to the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God is in the world. So you give the kingdom of God some allegiance, and you give the kingdom of the world some allegiance. Don't you? Now, what you'd like to do, and what I'd like to do too, is I'd like to have the best of both kingdoms. And that's what you'd like to do. You'd like to have the best of both kingdoms. You'd like to have the 100% of the kingdom of God and the best of the kingdom of the world. That'd solve our problem. But what you or I, either one, can do or ever will do is we can't do that. You simply cannot have the best of both. You can have a part of each. And that's what you've got tonight. You've got a part of each, and that's what God doesn't like. That's just His acceptable will. You know, I beseech you therefore, Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, this is the acceptable will of God. You see, the good will is God's good will is toward all, isn't it? He's not willing that any should perish, but all come. That's a good will of God. It is extended to all. Then there is an acceptable will. And that's where we are tonight. We're in the acceptable will of God. But then there is a perfect will, and that will get us into sonship. Threes. 30, 60, 100. All right, let me give you another set of threes. Followers, disciples, and sons. And here's how they break down. The followers were those that followed Jesus for the loaves and fishes, weren't they? Yeah, had a lot of followers. Had a lot of followers until one day he got some serious teaching in. And he said to them, hey, your fathers, Moses called down manna from heaven. Your fathers, they eat it and died. But I'm the living bread that come down from heaven, and if you eat of this bread, you will live forever. Yeah. And then he says to them, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will have no life. And they said, hey, did I misunderstand him? Is that what he said? He said, unless I eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, I ain't going to have no life in him. Is that what you understood him say? Is he? Goodness, what kind of a cannibalistic doctrine is this? I'm going to house. So the followers left. And then, after a while, Jesus noticed that his followers had left. You know why they left? Because he taught something they couldn't understand with their intellect. Their mentality couldn't get it. And the first time he taught something that they couldn't adjust to their intellect, there's a lot of people that wouldn't accept what I was preaching because they didn't get it first. When I began to preach the move of God, sonship, that's right. They reasoned that they ought to gut it instead of me. if it was so. And some of them reasoned that they knew enough to get to heaven on, so why trouble me with these? You know, you've seen the placket, my mind's made up, don't trouble me with these facts. Then he said to his disciples are those that are training, those that are ever learning, those that are being conformed to his image. He said to them, are you going to go away too? Whereupon the apostle Peter answered him, no. Where could we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. The disciples stayed. They didn't have to understand it with their intellect. They believed it because they knew he was the word of life. And then came that memorable occasion in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the cross lay imminently ahead, and Peter had took the Lord by the shoulders and shook him and said, and forbid him to go to Jerusalem, to the cross. And Peter had sealed his allegiance to the Lord. And he said to the Lord talked about the cross. And he said, be it far from you, Lord. It won't be so. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. And Peter said, I'm going up to Jerusalem. Peter said, well, I'm going with you. He said, well, I may get in jail. He said, well, I will too then. If you get in jail, I'm getting jailed. Well, he said, they're going to put me to death. Peter said, well, they'll have to come through me. And he meant it. Nobody was braver than the Apostle Peter. And he tried to fulfill his promise. But when you try to stand in your strength and your own courage, no matter how great it is, it'll be insufficient, won't it? Well, you remember the occasion that when they came for Jesus, the high priest approached him with his honor guard, and Peter drew his sword, didn't he? And he cut off that guy's ear. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Peter didn't intend to do that. That guy ducked and caused Peter to cut his ear off. He was aiming to get both ears just above the shoulders. Jesus had said to his disciples, he said to them, you stop here and pray and watch. And the Bible says that he stopped them here to pray and watch. This is where the disciples stop off. The sun went a little farther. If you would be a son of God, you will have to go a little farther. It's more than discipleship. Hallelujah. Oh, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break his bands from us. Let us cast his cords asunder. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king in my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron, dice them in pieces as a potter's vessel. Hear ye, kings, and be wise, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that do put their trust in the Lord. Lord, how art they increased that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, Lord, art my shield and my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and I slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I won't be afraid now if 10,000 people gather themselves together against me. Rise up, O Lord, and save me, my God. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to thee, and thy blessings are upon all of thy people. Hallelujah. Yeah, God said it, and we believe it, and that settles the issue. Hallelujah, it's so. Ah, so the seed then, let's look at this parable some more. The seed that he sows here is the children of the kingdom. Oh, that's great. This children of the kingdom, this word children is taken from the Greek word that means the son of adoption, mature son, manifested sons. Oh, blessed be the Lord. The children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. And this children of the wicked one, this is taken from the same word, children. It means from mature demons, Gene. They have reached the equivalent of the adoption of sons of God in the demonic realm. It's the same word. And he sows them, and the enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world. And now the world here is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels, or messengers, sons of God. All right. Now, let me quickly here. I'm going to have to leave that and go quickly to Daniel here. Because I've got to get this in and I've got to start winding down. I said an hour and a half. I'm going to use up the 2 hours and I haven't got far to go on that. So I got to move fast here and give you a little bit more here. I don't want to wear you out. In the 7th chapter of Daniel, in verse 22, okay, I'm in the wrong book here. I know my first guess is usually the best one. All right, 7:21. Let's begin with verse 21. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came, and the judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. Here comes the judgment going to be given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. I told you I was taking you from the conception to the possession. Now we're going to possess the kingdom. Let's look at this. This horn made war with the saints, and he prevails against them. That is, he's winning. Until, in verse 22, we have a time word. Until. He's winning until. Hallelujah. Until the Ancient of Days came. This Ancient of Days is Jesus. Somebody said, well, I thought it was the Father. No, it is not the Father. It is Jesus, the Son. It is God the Son. God the Father never was related to time. Jesus is the one member of the triune Godhead that was related to time. Jesus inserted 33 years of time into his eternal life. St. John chapter 10 and verse 17, no man taketh my life except I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I have the power to take it up again. Is anybody reading with me? I'm quoting. Check me out. I don't believe that Jesus was talking about Calvary here. Hallelujah. Although it included Calvary, but he was not talking about Calvary. Nowhere in the scripture is Jesus accredited with raising himself from the dead. But where it is stated that he is raised from the dead, it says that God raised up Jesus from the dead. But Jesus says in this passage that I have the power to lay it down, and if I lay it down, I have the power to take it up again. He had received that power from the Father. Now, this is what I think that he meant, and you give this some consideration. I say that he was not talking about Calvary. He was talking about his eternal life with the Father, his pre-existing life. In the beginning was, isn't that strange? We have in the beginning, and then the next word is past tense. I thought the beginning is as far back as you can get. In the beginning, as far back as you can get, and then the next word is past tense, was God. He was before the beginning then, huh? In his, all right, so Jesus is talking about his life in the bosom of the Father, and he says, now what I will do, because God had demanded this sacrifice, and God had to, man had to be reconciled to God, but he couldn't be. There was no way for him to do it. And Jesus said, I'm going to lay down my life. And he pulled off his kingly colors, robe, priestly, kingly robe, and took on the form of a servant and came into the world. The Word was made flesh and dwelled among men. He laid down his eternal life, inserted himself into an element called time, and spent 33 years looking like us and setting us an example. He became, he came among men and bore our infirmities. He took our place. He was a lamb of perfection that would come to Calvary. And when he had fulfilled his ministry, he was put to death by the pre-knowledge and counsel and the foreknowledge of God had already been arranged, and he was put to death. And when he died, they buried him, and God raised him up from the dead. And he showed himself alive by the space of 40 days, and then he ascended up on high. And when he ascended up on high, he picked up that life that he had laid down when he left, and he entered again. He omitted the realm of time that he had entered into and entered back into eternity. Oh, the grace of our God. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, that though he were rich, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Oh, deep call unto deep. Stir our hearts as deep as they can be stirred, O Lord. Reach deeply into our spirit, O Lord. My Lord, bypass our mentality, hallelujah, and get into our spirit and make us alive, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. I think that's what the Lord was talking about in John 10 and 17. And now then, the Ancient of Days comes. So it's Jesus. He's the only one that ever referred to time. Time, he's the only one that ever made himself available. And put himself under the restrictions of time. So the Ancient of Days, that's Jesus, he comes. And when he comes, he turns the judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And then the time came. From the time he gave judgment to the saints of the Most High, there's another time that elapses. I don't know how long it is, but there's a time elapse because it says, and the time came, progressive, that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now he turned the judgment over to the saints of the Most High. So I'm going to take us quickly to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to do some research here that you'll be glad that I helped you another 10 minutes for. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me see where I am. Yeah, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Is it chapter 6 and verse 3? Paul says, know ye not that you shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life. All right? And then if you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church. That is about things concerning this life, he says. All right? But he says, know you not that you're going to judge angels? What meaneth this? All right? I'll show you what it means. Let's turn over to Jude. And chapter, that is verse 6. Jude, verse 6. All right. And the angels There they are. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. These are the angels we're going to judge. Sons of God's going to judge them. These are the fallen angels. And it says right here, it's plain enough, isn't it? And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Isn't that strange to our ears? Well, let's look back over here then at 2 Peter, and just keep your finger right here if you want to. 2 Peter chapter 2, is it chapter 2? Let me see. Yes, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. And, all right. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto, you say it, judgment. Now, what about all of this? Well, it pleases God that the saints will judge the world. And it pleases God that the saints would judge these angels. But there has never been any saints that have risen to the maturity to be this kind of a judge. But there will be, all right? With these things still in mind, let's turn to the 11th chapter now of Isaiah. And you may want to make notes of all of this and look at it some more and give it your great consideration. In the 11th chapter of Isaiah, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The rod that comes out of Jesse is David, and the branch that grows out of his roots is the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him, this is the Christ, the enchristed, the body of Christ, he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. With righteousness shall he judge. All right, what's the problem? The problem is that there has been no company of sons manifested that can bypass the seeing of the eye, hearing of the ear, and make righteous judgment. Now, as soon as this company walks into that position, into life, these angels will be judged. They have been, as it were, they have been convicted of a crime. They have been indicted. They have been indicted, and they are being held without bail under the in chains, under darkness, until the day that they will come on trial and be judged. They are like a man that has been indicted for a crime, alleged crime. And he is being held without bond. He will not get out of jail until he is brought before before a judge and is judged then at that point. That's where these angels are. They're waiting now under darkness for a company of saints to come to the maturity that we no longer judge by the hearing of the ear or the seeing of the eye. We can bypass mentality and intellect and judge with righteous judgment. Now this company is on the horizon now. I believe that there is a mature company in the earth now that will manifest itself in this decade before the decade is over. I believe, it is my belief, but this is just something that I have always believed, no matter what my concept of the end was, that by the end of this century, we will be over in the kingdom age, the dispensation itself. So there is a company now that is on the horizon that is about to walk into this type of maturity. And we will be able to judge with righteous judgment. And then say, all right, in our parable, at the end of the age, what's he going to do? He's going to send the messengers in there to gather out the tares and everything that offends, that is offensive to the kingdom of God. All right? But why there was a group that wanted to do that start with? Why didn't he let them do it? Because they could only judge by the hearing of the ear and the seeing of the eye, and that tares looks almost more like wheat than wheat does. And it would take discernment. So he has to wait. He had to wait until the harvest came in. Then he had a company that knew how to do it. So he sends out this company. There'll be no mistakes. Now let me say this, and I'll close very quickly, that if we bound the strong man of the house tonight and then gathered up all the drugs there is in the world and everything, every evil weapon there is in the world tonight, and we could bind the strong man where he couldn't get loose and gather up all of his equipment and destroy it, and he couldn't make any more, what would happen? We'd still have problems. We would have gotten rid of him and of his arsenal, but what about his influence? And what about the evil that he's already got in operation out there? Yeah, 100 years from now, we'd still be involved in drugs, in the drug problem. You know what would happen if we could do that tonight? All right, there's some 16-year-old girl out there. Yes, indeed, there's probably 1,000 16-year-old girls out there that are pregnant, that have doped out, blowed their minds. And though we have everything bound now, in about 2 or 3 months from now, the population is going to start increasing by them 16-year-old girls. It wouldn't have to be 16-year-olds. But all of those that have blown themselves up with dope, and they'll bring forth a generation of babies that will be affected by this problem of ours, and we'll still be dealing with it. Yeah. We'll still be dealing with it 50 years from now. Some of them will have enough mentality to get grown and produce another generation that will be affected by that horrendous drug. And so 100 years from now, we'll still be eradicating the drug problem. That's what we're going to do during the kingdom age. We're going to eradicate the influence of the devil. Right now, every television commercial you see is programmed toward him. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But in the millennial kingdom, everything will be related toward him. And at the end of this millennial reign, which is 1,000 years, we will look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Are you ready for this kind of transformation? Can you see that in your spirit tonight? God, open the eyes of the blind and let us to see the great... we've seen what we thought were some great ministries, but we've seen it's not a drop in the bucket. The greatest is still out in front. The greatest. My first concept of the millennial kingdom was it'd be an age of peace, and we'd just sit by the river and dangle our feet in the water and eat the trees, the leaves, the fruit that fell off the trees. So it won't be. The age of the kingdom age will be an age of correction. I'll give you one more scripture then, if I must. Now, I'm in the 65th chapter and 20th verse. Somebody want to read with me? Isaiah 65 and 20. Child shall die at 100 years old. Is that the 20th verse? Somebody get to read it. There shall be no more. Read out loud. All right. That's the scripture I wanted. That's in the kingdom age. And a child dies at 100 years old. I've preached over 700 funerals. And I have never preached. I've preached one funeral that the person was over 100 years old. But if I preach one that was 90 It was a commendable mention of attaining to so many years. And just last year, I preached my aunt. My daddy's sister lived to 105 and a half years old. And I preached her funeral. She was the first one that was over 100. But in the kingdom age, if I was preaching a funeral and it's 100 years old, I'd have to handle it like preaching a 10-year-old boy's funeral. What a waste. Cut off in the bud of life. All right? And then when a man gets 100 years old, we're gonna allow him 100 years to get his act together. And if he don't get it together time he's 100 years old in the kingdom, what do you say we're going to do with him? He's going to be a curse. We're going to cast him out of the kingdom. We're going to allow him 100 years to come to accountability. But see, he won't be influenced by the multitudes of sin like our generations have been. And if he doesn't come to God at that point and doesn't coordinate with the kingdom, then he's going to be accursed. You know, when does a child reach the age of accountability? I always have contended that there's no certain age, that it's just when they get to know well enough right from wrong. To some, it would be a lot earlier than for others, wouldn't it? But in the kingdom, he gives them 100 years. This is a ministry that you don't want to miss. You must be a part of this, because if you don't get in on the first resurrection or get in alive, you won't come into the kingdom until all that's over. You'll come in at the end of the 1,000 years. And then you'll be judged by the books. The Bible says you'll be judged by the books. Says the books were open. All right, I ask you a question. If the books are open, how many books is that? At least two. But it could be more, couldn't it? All right, and then it says, and the book. Now, how many books is a minimum we got here? Three. But we could have more. As a matter of fact, I know five. I opened 5 books at that judgment. I read out of the scriptures. I hadn't got time to open them. I got to close. Praise the Lord. Well, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I trust that the Lord has pricked your heart tonight and your spirit. And I always say the teacher hasn't taught until the student learns. I hope that you learned something tonight. How many of you think you learned something? Look, I see your hand. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's almost 100%. Isn't that great? Oh, I hope that you will cherish this well in your heart. I tell you now, saith the Lord, that if you will cherish these words in your heart, yea, and if you will be a doer and not a hearer only, I'll liken you unto a man that built his house on the rock. And then the storms come. The rains beat, the hail fell, the wind blew, and the lightnings flashed, and every attempt was made to destroy that house. But when the storm subsided, that house stood in all the splendor it had ever stood in. Yea, and this is the way that you too will stand, saith the Lord. Yea, take my word to heart. Yea, and cherish the privilege of hearing the word by revelation this night. For your ears have heard a word, a true word, a word of revelation. You didn't come to see a prophet, yea, a reed that was bent with every wind of doctrine, nay, nor one that came from palaces with fine raiment. You come to hear a prophet, one that only the wind of the Holy Ghost can direct, saith the Lord. Yea, and you will do well to hear these words and take them to heart. And if you will, they will give you life. Yea, and you can subsist off this life, for it will sustain you in every trial. It will sustain you through every trial. Yea, it will sustain you all through life, and you will have a good life. Yea, in this time, and I'll give you an abundance of entrance into the blessed kingdom of God, because I have called and you've heard the voice. You heard a voice that others didn't hear. You felt an urge that others didn't feel. Yea, deep has called unto deep, and enlargement cometh to you. Yea, to you. Yea, and to you and you. Yes, enlargement cometh to you this night. Yea, I tell you now that you will notice that your capacity for understanding has enlarged. Yea, your capacity for retaining has been enlarged. Your capacity for seeing, yea, the invisible has been enlarged. You've been in the Shekinah realm of the glory of the presence of the Lord. Yea, the sovereignty of the Lord has ministered to you. Yea, and the Word, the Logos, the Rhema, the living Word has been ministered. Yea, and man shall not live just by bread alone, but he must live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You are my people, and I've made you a strong people. I'll divide the spoil with you, and you can divide it with the strong, saith the Lord. Yea, I'll be calling on you to pour out your soul unto death. Yea, I'll be calling on you to become a sacrifice, yea, even an offering, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, but I shall never harm you. Be not afraid for anything that I ask, any request that I make, any demand that I will demand upon you. You can rest assured that it will not harm you. Yea, it will be profitable to you, for I'm aiming you directly at Zion. I'll bring you with shouting. I'll bring you with singing. I'll bring you with joy. Yea, I'll take you one of a family and two of a city, and I'll bring you to Zion and give you teachers that are after my own heart that will teach you the ways of life, and you shall live, and that will be an abundance of life, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. God bless you real good.
Kingdom and
dominion. Oh, bless the Lord.
The kingdom and dominion shall be given to the saints of the Most High.
Amen.
It is an everlasting one. I speak of life, for ye shall never die. A kingdom and dominion shall be given to the saints of the Most High. Speak of life, for ye shall never die. This covenant I've made shall stand, death disannulled by my own hand. And with mercy I will pass over those I've tried. This remnant seed that I have birthed can now be seen. And the glorious Son, the saints of the Most High. The kingdom and dominion shall be given to the saints of the Most High. It is an everlasting one. I speak of life, for ye shall never die.
Father, I thank you for putting in our heart the desire to be an overcomer, to be those that are marked, to be those of the hundredfold.
Father, I ask that you put that desire in the heart of every person who ever hears this tape and that is present in this place tonight, that you will put that desire within our hearts, and we will walk before you in righteousness and holiness, desiring to be that which you alone can make of us through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Your word says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Lord, help us with all of our desire to be that person of holiness before you, that you will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Father, now I thank you for rest tonight. Thank you for raising us to hear again the word of the Lord tomorrow, that we may hide it in our hearts, that we sin not against thee. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.